A lot under an hour. Very short, because you don't have much time here. But anyway, is give thanks to Jehovah for his everlasting mercy. That's the title, give thanks to Jehovah for his everlasting mercy. Let's go ahead and open in prayer. Lord, we're thankful for the privilege to open the Word of God now. I pray that you'd help us to be full of thanks for your great mercy, that it would affect us in a great way. Would you please use your word in our lives through what you taught, what you've revealed to us in this chapter of your word. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. So Psalm 136, which we read this morning, is a psalm that's composed entirely of praise. It's the only psalm in the entire Psalter that has a chorus. All the rest of the psalm, the vast majority of old hymns don't have a chorus, but we can see that there is an example of one here, so it's not wrong to have a hymn with a chorus. But what is this chorus? What is the only chorus that God put in the entire Psalter, the entire inspired songbook of Israel? Well, it's in verse 1 here. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. So the only chorus in the Psalter is for his mercy endureth forever. So clearly that's something that's very important. Now, Psalm 136 breaks down into several parts. First, in verses 1 through 3, we see a threefold giving of thanks to the triune Jehovah for what he is in himself as the God of mercy. So that's verses 1 through 3. That's followed in verses 4 through 9 with a sixfold note of praise to Jehovah for his mercy in creation. Then in verses 10 through 15, there's another sixfold note of praise to Jehovah for his mercy in redeeming his national people, Israel, from Egypt. Verses 16 to 22, you have a sevenfold note of praise to Jehovah for his mercy in leading his people through the wilderness and into Canaan. Then verses 23 and 24, you have a twofold note of praise to Jehovah for delivering us because of his everlasting mercy. That's followed by a call in verse 25 to give praise to Jehovah for his universal providence, which is a manifestation of his everlasting mercy and a sign of his greater mercy to his people. And it's concluded in Psalm 136 here with a conclusion to excite everlasting praise. Now, we're going to read here verses 1 through 3 and 26, and we're going to be focusing on those that are making some reference to the rest of the psalm. So 136, 1 through 3 read, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. Then there's the rest of the psalm, and it concludes in verse 26, O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, starting in verse 4, notice it says, To him who alone doeth great wonders. Verse 5, To him that by wisdom made the heavens. Verse 6, To him that stretcheth out the earth. All those two hymns imply, O give thanks unto the Lord, to him who does, etc. So verse 4, verses 1 through 3 begin, O give thanks, O give thanks, O give thanks. Then in verse 4, where it's to him, it's saying, O give thanks unto the Lord, to him who alone doeth great wonders. Verse 5, O give thanks unto the Lord, to him that by wisdom made the heavens. Verse 6, O give thanks unto the Lord, to him that stretch out the waters, the earth above the waters, and so on. So what we can see then in this entire psalm is there's a strong emphasis upon two things. One, the command, O give thanks unto the Lord, repeated three times in the first three verses and then implied over and over again in all the hymns. And then we also have a great emphasis on the reason for this command, for his mercy endureth forever. So the command, O give thanks unto the Lord, and the reason, for or because his mercy endureth forever. So here we see this command here, O give thanks unto the Lord. This is the verb in Hebrew means to give thanks, laud, or praise. It's directed to God the overwhelming majority of the time. And when it's followed by the word to, O give thanks unto, as it is here, it's always directed to Jehovah, and very frequently in the context of public worship, giving thanks to the Lord. Now notice here this command is repeated three times. O give thanks unto the Lord in verse 1. Verse 2, O give thanks unto the God of gods. Verse 3, O give thanks unto the Lord of lords. And verse 26, O give thanks unto the God of heaven. And as we said already, it was implied in many, many of the other verses with all the hymns. What can we learn from this? We can learn a lot of things. Well, first of all, we can learn from this that giving thanks and praise to Jehovah is not an option, but a command. This is a command. He's telling you over and over again, give thanks unto the Lord. This is an urgent command. This is a repeated command. This is an extremely important command. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Do you share the passion for praise and thanksgiving to God possessed by the psalmist? Do you? If you do, it'll show up in your life, that's for sure. It'll show up in your personal devotions. Maybe you didn't even have them today because you're busy making all kinds of food, and that's great. I love delicious food, but this isn't the eating day. You know, this is the Thanksgiving day, right? Not the eating day, not the go shopping day. It's the Thanksgiving to the Lord day. Amen. Does it show up in your personal devotions that you care about giving thanks to the Lord? Does it show up in your prayer? Do you give thanks to the Lord in prayer every day? Or do you spend 5 minutes a day giving Him thanks and much longer doing other things? In family devotions, do you give thanks to the Lord? Does giving thanks, are you serious about it? Does that show up in how you come to church? Maybe you get there late because, you know, praising God to worship isn't that important to you, maybe. Maybe you're talking when everybody else is praising God in song. Or preaching is worship too. Maybe you're not paying attention then. Is your daily life one of giving thanks and praise? You know, we're supposed to give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful there's definitely Christians in our church here that are that way. You can tell they're very, very thankful people. Are you one of those people? Are you filled with thanksgiving? If you're not, why are you not that way? It's God commands you to be that way. He's worthy of it. Are you this way in your workplace? Or are you somebody who's refreshing the bowels of the saints with your thankfulness for always and for all things? Is your thankfulness a conviction of the unconverted? If you've received the great mercy of Jehovah, you think it's a little thing to disobey the command to give Him thanks and praise? The Lord Jesus perfectly obeyed this command, didn't He? He sure did. We need to be conformable to this. Give Him thanks and praise. You can see this heartfelt attitude of praise as well here. Oh, give thanks. He's passionate about this. His praise wasn't dull, listless, fake and hypocritical. It was genuine. It's for real. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. The Lord knows perfectly well if your praise is real or if it's fake. If it's bouncing off the ceiling because your heart isn't in it. Or if it gets through to Him. When was the last time you confessed your sinful lack of thankfulness or even absent praise and begged God for grace to be full of thankfulness and praise so you could say with other psalm that my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long? That's what you need to be. You know, giving out the gospel is praising God too. We're confessing Him before men. In evangelism, are you praising God in evangelism? Are you giving thanks? Are you confessing His name? In the immediate context of this psalm, we saw that, oh, give thanks unto is commonly used in public worship. Do you encourage other saints in worship? When you're here, are you encouraging other people? Let's give thanks to the Lord. Let's be thankful to Him. Let's stir one another up to follow God and to give Him glory. Or maybe you're, this is the place to gossip and to be discontented instead of a place to stir others up to praise. We need to stir our own souls up by the grace of God and the power of the Spirit to give thanks and praise instead of coming unprepared to give thanks with our mind on 1,000 other things. We need to lead our family in praise and giving thanks. We don't want to be the person that has the rain cloud over our head all the time, you know? That's who you are, right? Well, no, we need to be the thankful person, don't we? This is a command. This is a repeated command, an important command. He says, oh, give thanks, oh, give thanks, oh, give thanks. Repeated, important, incredibly important command. Do we take this command as seriously as we see God wants us to in this psalm? We're limited in time here. We can see this command is unto the Lord. That's very important. We're not just generally thankful. We're thankful to Jehovah, the God who's in covenant with His people. We see that we give thanks because He is good. That's actually the basis for his mercy. His goodness, his character as the good God is why he's able to overflow out of his goodness and give us mercy. So he's good, and then he gives us mercy. But we're going to have to emphasize, we're passing on from that, dealing with that very briefly here. The second half of the phrase, the reason of the psalmist. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, why? For his mercy endureth forever. The only chorus in the whole Psalter. Here we have this quality, mercy. For his mercy endureth forever. The Hebrew word chesed, it's a great word. You can try saying it. Chesed, you know? It occurs 245 times in the Old Testament. By far, the most of those is in the Psalms. It's 127 times in the Psalms. And then 2 Samuel 12 times, Genesis 11 times, lots of other books. It's all over the place, but very heavily in the Psalter. So we can see from this that the mercy of the Lord is something that needs to be central in our praise. That was central in the praise of in the inspired songbook of Israel, that God had shown them mercy, and it should be central in our praise. What is mercy? What is this mercy here? Well, if you look at other references with it, it's associated with God's grace. It's associated with his faithfulness. It's associated with his keeping of the covenant. It's based on his love. Sometimes it's translated loving kindness. Jeremiah 31:3, for example, says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, with chesed, with mercy, have I drawn thee." So his mercy is based on his love. It's associated with his covenant. It's abundant. He's abundant in mercy. It's great in extent. He has great mercy. It's to 1,000 generations of those that love him and keep his commandments. His character of mercy results in specific mercies, specific deeds of kindness, specific acts of showing mercy. Eternal salvation is based on God's mercy in the Psalter. Psalm 86:13, "For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell." That's God's mercy there. The saints trust in the mercy of God. Psalm 52:8, "I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever." So mercy in the Old Testament here, loving kindness, is undeserved. It goes beyond what the recipient of mercy could ever imagine. What does Psalm 136 in particular show us about God's mercy? Well, first of all, in verses 1 through 3 here, we can see whose mercy it is. It's an attribute of Jehovah. He's the Lord. He is the God of gods. He is the Lord of lords. So this mercy that we're giving thanks for isn't just something that some human is kind to us. Not some mighty king. Not some great angel. But this is the mercy of the infinite and everlasting God who comes and shows mercy to his people. So the God of the Bible is not he is high above. He's the God of gods and Lord of lords, separate, but he's also close to us. He cares about us. He's with us. He shows us in particular mercy because he's able to unite both that holiness and separateness and that closeness and mercy and care in Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. The one who is both finite and infinite, uniting all those things in his own person. The creator and the created human nature and an infinite creator God in one person. So this mercy that he has is the mercy of the God of heaven. It's his mercy in verses 1 through 3. This mercy in verses 4 through 9 led him to create the universe for us. The universe is not just the illustration of God's power and his majesty and his greatness, but it's an illustration of mercy to his people. The law of gravity, the sun warming us, all the chemicals in our body that work in amazing ways, all the cells, all the amazing things in this great universe are illustrations of God's mercy to those that belong to him, to his people. So is there not a great cause there to thank the Lord, to give thanks to the Lord because of creation? As children of God, if we're saved, we need to view the universe with all its amazing power and wonder, not just as something that's showing his power, but as his mercy. The sun rising is his mercy. All the food we have to eat is his mercy toward us. His care, based on his love, his abundant grace toward us. So we can see that mercy is his creation shows mercy, verses 4 through 9. In verses 10 through 15, his redemption of his people and his destruction of the wicked is also in a manifestation of his mercy. His mercy led him to take them out of Egypt and destroy the wicked Egyptians, destroy Og, king of Bashan as well, and all those ungodly people. Now, there is a sense in which God shows mercy to the whole, all creatures. You can see that in verse 25, he gives food to all flesh, and that's great. All people experience his temporal mercy. Even the most wicked person experiences temporal mercy from God. He still gets food to eat, he still gets air to breathe, but he doesn't experience God's eternal mercy. Those Egyptians who got killed in the Red Sea, God gave them food to eat too, didn't he? Yeah, he sure did. But they went to hell because they didn't experience his eternal mercy. They didn't have the special mercy that God has towards his people. So maybe you're here today because you're just here because, you know, I have relatives or whatever. But if you're not a saved person, all this glorious mercy of God in an everlasting sense doesn't pertain to you. You can't say, well, God's given me good things. I have good health. I have a nice house. I have lots of nice things. Therefore, I must be partaker of God's eternal mercy. I must be saved. I must be in covenant with God. Well, you can't conclude that. He gives mercy to all flesh. But you need to actually repent and believe the gospel if you're going to receive his special mercy. His mercy in delivering you from the lowest hell. And if you just have many, and if you're here, you have amazing temporal mercies. You've had the Bible. Maybe if you're a kid that is in the school or something, you've heard the gospel many times. Maybe you have saved family members, a saved husband or wife, protected from many wicked influences. Those are all amazing things. But if you don't receive the special mercy of the Lord, you're still going to be in hell. And all those mercies will be things you're actually going to curse that you ever had, because they're going to turn for your greater judgment. Just like in Israel, the Pharisees had the Bible. They had some godly influences, and then maybe they had saved people around them. They had Jesus Christ ministering there. And Jesus said that it'd be worse for them than for Sodom, because all those temporal mercies did not translate into them getting saved, and it was worse for them than for the vile Sodomites. So don't just trust the temporal mercies of the Lord. Receive his eternal mercy by turning to Jesus Christ. We need to have the attitude, like Jonathan said just a few minutes ago. We're in Jacob, in Genesis 32, said, I am not worthy of the least of the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed thy servant. So we see that he shows his mercy to his people as a nation. In verses 11 through 21, we can see that God's mercy to his people leads him to not leave them where they are. He doesn't just redeem them from Egypt, but he leads them into Canaan. He doesn't just deliver us from our sin's penalty, but he leads us into his ways of holiness and righteousness. That's his mercy too. His mercy in sanctifying us. His mercy in transforming us into his image. His mercy in leading us in the ways of holiness. That is a tremendous, great mercy that God shows in doing those things. We can see in verses 22 through 24 that his mercy is not just for a group, but it's for us as well. Verse 22, he says, who remembered us in our low estate? His mercy is personal. Every one of his saints he calls by name. He knows by name. He has on his heart from eternity past. His mercy isn't just for his people in general, but it's for Stephen Raines. It's for Lydia Bird. It's for Greg Myers. His mercy is particular care for us, delivering us, redeeming us from our enemies, from our lowest state. What a blessing that is. Oh, give thanks for this great mercy. And notice finally as well that his mercy endureth forever. Just as a quick note here, notice it's for and then the word ever. If you even have a New King James, which supposedly is just the same as the King James, it makes it into one word. But this is more accurate, for and ever, because there's a Hebrew word for, followed by a Hebrew word forever. So it's actually forever. So the King James is actually better than the modern versions in that. But his mercy endures unto all eternity, for an everlasting period of time, for all eternity. This mercy of God is as unchanging as his character, based on his great goodness, as certain as his own faithfulness and truth and his holiness. So he doesn't just show us mercy until we commit a sin, and then he casts us off. Well, we're getting rid of those people. They sin too much. No, he keeps showing us mercy. His mercy is upon us, even leading us to the point where we come to Christ. His mercy, once we're saved, keeps us secure, eternally secure, and we'll see that mercy into all eternity. Forever and ever, we'll be able to say, oh, give thanks to the Lord, because a billion years into heaven, we'll be there because his mercy endureth forever. It's as certain as his own covenant, his own promises, his own choice. What glorious mercy this is. So let the mercy of the Lord, let the fact that his mercy endureth forever, let that stir you up to give thanks. Amen. You can't do it if you're not saved. You're going to be a phako. You're going to be, you need to get saved if you're not saved, because otherwise you can't give thanks to the Lord. You don't know by experience his great mercy. But if you are, if we're saved people here, saved, baptized people of Mequonago Baptist Church, well, you know what? Let's think on this mercy. Let this mercy keep us constantly in our mind. Keep us from getting downcast. Keep us confident in trial. Keep us serving the Lord, because this mercy, even our circumstances may change. We may have experienced, you know, something like Job, though not as bad. We may have all kinds of difficulties in our life, but his mercy is still the same, and that can encourage us by his grace to go forward and live for him. And continue always to give him thanks always, because his mercy is always there. So, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for this psalm. Well, it's a great conviction, Lord, that we're supposed to give you thanks always. It's this repeated command. We know you're very worthy of this. You're so worthy, and we fall so short of giving you thanks the way that we ought to. I pray that you would strengthen us by your Spirit. Help us to be people that are overflowing with thankfulness in our daily life, in our corporate worship. Help us to be people that are encouraging others to be filled with thankfulness. And thank you so much for your mercy. We thank you for giving us food like you do to all flesh. We're probably all going to have delicious food today. But thank you most of all for that glorious mercy and loving kindness in saving us, delivering us from our sin, redeeming us, leading us in the ways of holiness, leading us to everlasting felicity with you. Help us to be consumed with that glorious fact of your everlasting mercy, and let it stir us up to give thanks, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.